It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And we're on, and this is the Camp Report, live from Tampa for August the 20th, 2024. This morning they had an availability with all the assistant coaches. Well, not all the assistant coaches, the coordinators. They had Danny Crossman, they had Frank Smith, and they had Anthony Weaver. Very few interesting things happened as far as in the availability. We know Danny Crossman said, you know, allow for 4 weeks to see what the prevailing strategies are going to be on the kickoffs, okay? And Frank Smith kind of echoed what Alec Ingold said last week when he said they were going to test the limits of the offense. He basically said that they're just trying to disguise what they do with more movement, more formations, more... how would I say it? Subterfuge. Okay? So, although he said it a little bit more artfully than that. And Anthony Weaver was very, very positive about pretty much everything, but he did name drop Saran Neal, which is a very good thing for Saran Neal. Also name drop Marcus May, which is also a very good thing for Marcus May. He also name dropped Channing Tindall. Okay, so I guess he likes everybody on the roster. He also name-dropped the three UDFA cornerbacks, and he said, don't put it past them to help us this year. So, I don't know. He was a very, very positive guy. I don't know if he was trying to tell us everything that we wanted to hear or he really likes this roster. But anyway, I have Marek Brave here so he could feed me questions. I don't think we're going to go too long because not much happened today. Tomorrow's a joint practice, and you know who will be there with me? Chris Kaufman. So we're going to have two eyes on tomorrow's practice, and that's going to make for a special 3 yards per carry. Tomorrow will be the last camp report that I'll do right after practice. But then at night, we will have a 3YPC episode that should be pretty entertaining. I'm pretty certain we'll talk a little bit about a quarterback and a certain defensive coordinator from the NFC North. But Marek, how are you?
Doing well, Al. Thanks for having me on, as always. I do appreciate that. It's always good to chat with you. And we were chatting before you hit record there. I think it's crazy you're in Tampa and you're not having a sleepover at Chris's house. Like I said, you guys could have built forts in the living room, had a couple cigars. You know, it could have been a fun boys' night. But here we are on the camp report here. We got some questions in the queue. So why don't we get this thing started? Guy wants to know, after hearing Weaver today, safe to say that Marcus May has made the team. And also, anything on Anthony Walker? More likely to get cut or stashed on IR to return for Anthony Walker, Alf?
No, I think, Marcus May, I think he made the team. But as far as Anthony Walker, I don't think you cut that guy. They're not cutting him, okay? he got the orange jersey early on. He's kind of important. He's what makes the linebacking core kind of deep. So, no, they're not cutting him. He's a guy that you're watching. Remember, he's not even on the PUP either. He's working his way back from an injury. I think tomorrow we will learn more as we see him out there. He looked like he was working his way back toward playing and practicing. So it doesn't look to me like, no, cut is completely out of the question. Like, that's not happening.
Staying on the defensive side of the football, Alf, do you think Mike McDaniel and the team are future planning for Weaver's potential promotion, this promotion being getting a head coaching job somewhere else in the NFL in a year or two? And is there someone already on staff or someone out there they could target to keep the scheme consistent?
Probably Slowick is the guy that would get a long look at season's end. They have pretty much the same ethos, the same philosophy. So that's who I would guess would get a long look, would be Ryan Slowick. Other than him, Austin Clark is not cut out for that. I don't think he wants to be a defensive coordinator. He's a longtime defensive line coach and a really, really damn good one. So I don't even think he'll be interested, to be honest with you. So I think Ryan Slowick is the guy that I would look at for that.
We got a couple people popping up in the chat that say Robert Saleh probably next defensive coordinator.
Oh,
what
yeah,
do you
when
say
he
about
gets
that
fired
one, Alf?
With the Jets this year. So yeah, absolutely. that's probably likely.
How bad do you think the Jets are going to be? Do you think it's going to come down to relationship issues between Rodgers and Garrett Wilson? You know, you've seen them kind of animated at practice a few times this offseason. Does it come down to just Saleh not being a great coach? Does it come down to Aaron Rodgers being old? You know, how good or bad do you think the Jets are going to be? And if they're going to be bad, what's the reason why, Alf?
I don't think they're going to be bad, okay? I just think that if they're expecting what a lot of the people in the media are saying they're going to be, I think they're going to be really disappointed. But can they win 10 games? Absolutely. Can they win 9? Yeah. Can they win 7 and be an absolute disaster? Absolutely as well. But I think it lies somewhere in the middle. I think they'll win like 9 or 10. They'll be a playoff team, in my opinion. You know, and I think 10 is, if they're healthy, I think 10 is a possibility because they do have a soft start to that schedule. So they could rack up some wins. You know, so I think 10 is a possibility. I don't think it's absolutely I don't think it's crazy that the Bills finished third in the division. I really don't.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, like what some people are predicting, you know, 13 wins, 12 wins, a Super Bowl. No. I don't think that's in the cards for the Jets. No. But they are talented. That
yeah, we'd talented be crying team. For sure if the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Don't put that evil on me.
No, sir. No, sir. All right. Sticking on the defensive side of the football, this guy, we got a celebrity in the chat. Jesse Davis wants to know, are we going to keep 5 safeties, the 3 obvious ones, and then Campbell and McMorris? Do either Campbell or McMorris stick with the team, Alf?
I think Elijah Campbell's a lock because he's a core special teamer. I think McMorris is the guy that they'll play around with. They did keep 5. I believe it was... But this was the previous regime. In 2021, I think they kept 5. Okay? This system is going to employ a lot of safeties. And you have one of them that is a core special teamer in Elijah Campbell. So I could see them keeping 5. I can. And McMorris has given them no reason to cut him. So I think they could keep – I think they will keep 5, actually. And I think that the cuts will come from the cornerback room. And I think all 3 of those UDFAs, I think they're going to roll the dice because you just can't keep everybody, right? I think Saran Neal made the team. So maybe, and I don't think it's getting lucky, but maybe they stash a guy on IR with designation to return. Maybe a guy goes on the PUP. So that's always a possibility, and they could keep one of those UDFAs. But I think it's a distinct possibility that they cut all 3 UDFAs, Storm Duck, Isaiah Johnson, and Jason Maitre. And then bring all 3 of them back, because I think they saw enough that there could be a roster player or 2 for next season in there. And quite honestly, I would probably make the tough decision to cut all 3, but I would try to bring back all 3. I like all 3. All 3 have none of them have made a bad step. All training camp, all 3 have been really, really good, and all 3 have been really good in the games too. So. Hard to cut them, but you kind of have to.
All right, Alf. Punters are people, too. You went to Monday Night Raw last night. Got to see a little Pat McAfee, it looked like. This guy has a question about punters. Has anyone discussed why there's been no competition for the punting job this offseason? You know, you got that undrafted rookie punter camping outside Dolphins training camp all offseason. Ulbrich, I don't know how you feel about that. Some people like it, some people don't. Any reason why no competition for Jake Bailey this offseason, Alf?
I got a good answer for this one, okay? You don't practice for 8 hours, right? And they're devoting a larger part of special teams practice this year to the kickoff for obvious reasons. So I don't think they have time to have a full-blown punter competition. And that's why they only have one kicker as well. Also, look around the league. Look at how many teams actually have two punters or two kickers this year. I think teams are concentrating on the new kickoff rules, and they're trying to get that squared away first before they do anything else. So I think that's my answer for it, and I think it's a good one. And it's probably correct, too. Although it's a great question to ask of Danny Crossman. I think he was asked earlier in the offseason, and he just kind of poo-pooed it. He likes his guy, Jake Bailey. I don't think Jake Bailey's been bad either. I think what's interesting is the kickoff battle between Jake Bailey and Jason Sanders. I think that's an interesting battle. That's going to be pretty cool going forward to see who wins that. In my opinion, Jake Bailey is probably ahead right now.
Very interesting. All right, sticking with the theme of competition for starting jobs, this guy has a question about the offensive line. He says, even if Isaiah Wynn miraculously returned to practice fully healthy tomorrow, is the left guard position now Robert Jones's to lose?
Yes. Like, that's pretty much a lock at this point. And by the way,
it's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeldwyn. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeldwyn windows today. View our entire selection of Jeldwyn windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. 1 day left, okay, in training camp. I still have not seen Isaiah Wynn. I'm going to try like hell. Do you think he made the trip out here to Tampa? I don't know. I'm going to ask around, though. I'm going to ask around to see if anybody's seen him. I have asked a couple of people, and they assure me he's alive and well, and he has been seen in the building. I have not seen him. There's only 1 day left in training camp. So we shall see if we can see them. We can see him tomorrow.
All right, moving on. This guy wants to know, is Quinton Bell still in the mix for the 53? And what has he done for us lately?
He's on the roster for sure, and he's going to play a lot of snaps week one. Like, that's happening. So my guess is what I predicted right before training camp. Right after one practice, I predicted that week one, you're going to see Jalen Phillips start with Quinton Bell opposite of him getting 15 to 20 snaps with Chop Robinson getting the balance. I believe that. So I think that that's still happening.
All right, moving on to the topic of the day, it seems. Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa, obviously a very contentious relationship. Tua goes on the Dan Le Batard show and really throws Flores under the bus, but it was kind of more of a turnabout's fair play situation after Flores threw Tua under the bus for the multiple years he coached him in Miami. This guy wants to know if you have a favorite Brian Flores story that you're allowed to say but hasn't been told yet.
Well, I was in practice his second day as a head coach in training camp that first year, and listening to him talk, it was absolutely a first for me. I had never, and I've seen Don Shula coach this team. I don't remember a coach talking to his players that way before. But, that's not really a crazy story. Every story about Brian Flores has been already told. It's been told ad nauseum. The guy fired an offensive line coach after 3 days. Okay? So, I don't think there's any more outrageous stories to tell. Like, it's pretty much all of them. And everybody's heard them all. Like, everybody knows what happened after that Titans game. Everybody knows he was borderline abusive to Tua. So, you know, I don't think there's much else to talk about. The next cool moment will be when Tua hangs 50 on his defense the next time they play. That's going to be the next time. But, yeah, there is no love lost there between those two, and it's obvious, you know. It was the guy tried to replace him, and, you know, and he tried to do an end around management essentially to do it, okay? So I don't think, you know, there is no love lost here, all right? You know, a guy tries to replace you and basically tells you to your face that he's trying to replace you. Yeah, that's not going to be good.
All right, we got a couple questions back on the offensive line. You know, everyone's favorite thing to worry about here, mine included. I'm going to combine a couple of these together. This guy wants to know, Liam Eichenberg, where is he starting week one? Is it right guard? Is it possibly center with Aaron Brewer dealing with a hand injury? I'd also like to know, all things, you know, even, nobody's injured in this hypothetical scenario. What is the starting offensive line? And then this guy wants to know, is that offensive line good enough to allow the Dolphins to make a deep playoff run, or do they still need an upgrade?
I think the system will dictate whether, you know, they make a deep playoff run. Their philosophy is the philosophy, and it's not going to change. Their health at tackle is going to determine that, because that's their philosophy. Their philosophy is to have their money and their resources spent at tackle and at center. So as long as those guys are healthy, they'll be fine. I think the starting offensive line for week one will probably have Liam Eichenberg at center, with Aaron Brewer coming back in week two against the Bills. And that would mean that at right guard, who knows who you're going to see. I think Driscoll is going to make a strong push to be the starter at right guard in place of Lester Cotton for week one. Okay? But then in week two, I do believe that Liam Eichenberg will then go back to right guard with Robert Jones at left guard and Aaron Brewer at center. They tend to telegraph their offensive line early in training camp. They've done it for two consecutive years. I think that's happening again. Isaiah Wynn, when he comes back, maybe he'll get a look. Other than that, I would expect that Isaiah Wynn is essentially the swing guard on this team and a backup tackle as well, because he hasn't contributed anything yet, and we haven't even seen him. So he's still in the pup.
Doesn't make me feel any better about the offensive line right there. But, you know, we'll see how the season plays out.
Yeah, just stay healthy at tackle. Yeah. You should be okay.
All right. Dundee Dolphin wants to know, if Quinton Bell is on the 53, that gives us Quinton Bell, Jalen Phillips, Emmanuel Ogba, Chop Robinson, and Mo Kamara. Who goes when Bradley Chubb returns?
Well, you can always bust somebody down, remember, always to the practice squad, and you could protect them. So I don't think it's one of those things where you have to choose. I think right there you're mentioning the six that are on the roster. Remember, there's the 53 and there's the 69, okay? So you got to count the practice squad guys as well once you have the 53. They're keeping all six of those guys. Remember, one is already on the pup, so you already got the five roster guys ready to go. They're right there. Bell, Phillips, Ogba, Chop, Kamara. When Chubb returns, somebody's getting kicked down to the practice squad. That's as simple as that. So, you know, those are the guys. Those are the ones that are making the team. Remember, Ogba's also going to reduce down. He's going to kick in at three as a three tech and as a five tech, so he's important for this defense. So the true edge players, you got four of them. You had four last year. You know, you're going to have four again this year. Remember, when Chubb comes back, one of those guys is going to get it's going to be put on the practice squad. More likely than not, it's probably going to be Kamara, or maybe he progresses and it'll be Quinton Bell, where he was last year. So, yeah, that's the group. Nobody's going for all intents and purposes.
Any concern with Tyreek Hill? Any concern with Tyreek Hill right now, Alf? He's got the removable hand brace he was wearing at practice today. Wasn't seen catching passes. Is there any concern there, or is that much to do about nothing?
I think it's much to do about nothing. He ramps himself. He gets himself up ready to play games. He'll be fine. I don't think it's much of a big deal. It's one of those, you know, it's not a cast, and it's not even one of those immobile things. It's a removable hand brace, you know? We don't even know how that happened either. Maybe he was lifting.
Maybe he got mad
like
at Fortnite.
Maybe.
I punched a wall losing at Fortnite. Mm-hmm. All right. Last question then, Alf. Is this team set up well enough when good defenses are inevitably able to take away the timing and rhythm throws and force us into a more traditional drop back attack? Can the offensive line hold up?
Yes, for one simple reason. They're a more diversified offense, okay? And they're more diversified by the more weapons that they have, the weapons that they have, the running game that they're going to employ, which is going to be pretty much all over the board. They're going to have a gap scheme. They're going to have an outside zone scheme, inside zone scheme. They're going to run leads, power. They're going to run a very diverse and expanded running game. But it's also Jonnu Smith, and when Odell Beckham comes back, that's going to bring in 11 personnel. So they're going to play more personnel groupings than they did a year ago. That's going to help them get teams out of some of those defenses. So they're also going to run the ball more, and it's evident by how they called this last game and how they've ran training camp. You know, you don't expand the running game if you're not going to run the ball more. So I think they're set up to do that. They always have a counter. You know, but remember the teams that they're playing against will have a counter to that counter. So we shall see how it holds up. Usually it takes about a month to see how teams are going to play. So past week four is when we could start looking at how teams are going to play the Dolphins. I think we could call it right there. If you want to participate in any of these shows, and then as soon as this is over, as soon as camp reports are over, past tomorrow's joint practice with the Tampa Bay Bucks, OnlyFans Q&A Live returns. If you want to participate in any of those, you got to go to discord.gg/OnlyFans and you become a member there for $3 a month. And as always, you already heard the ad in the middle of the show, but this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3, that's the number 3, yards. And if you make a $5 play, you get a $50 bonus, no questions asked. All right, we will talk to you again tomorrow. This time, tomorrow, we will have a 3 yards per carry, and Chris Kaufman will be, I'm not going to say educated on what's gone on with training camp, but he'll be initiated. How's that? How does that sound? And we'll do this again tomorrow, and tomorrow is the final camp report. Thank you, Marek, for helping me throughout this camp. I think you got one more
inning
for tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
All right. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to 3 yards per carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeldwin. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeldwin windows today. View our entire selection of Jeldwin windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big.